reviewing the November 2017 Watchtower Study Edition for the week of January 8th through 14th. This is the JW Review. This review is probably going to be pretty short, just because there's maybe one or two paragraphs I want to look at closely. And the article is Imitate Jehovah's Justice and Mercy. The previous article was Are You Taking Refuge in Jehovah? And this article is more based on how to find principles for the cities of refuge. Because if you remember in the last review, the Watchtower is cautioning against types and anti-types and making those sorts of applications. But when in reality, they are doing that very thing that they are speaking against, because they say they want to draw lessons or principles, but the reality is they're doing a type and anti-type, because the elders in the cities of refuge, what they're basically saying is the elders of today are to basically model what the elders back in the Old Covenant times were doing in relation to the cities of refuge. So what's interesting is we don't see any Christian application in the Christian scripture specifically on how elders are to model the practices specifically of the elders in those days. So really, they're doing the type and anti-type thing, but just calling it something different. And I didn't really realize that they were doing that until I read this article, and I was kind of thinking, huh, it sounds like they are doing the very thing that they cautioned against. And we'll see that here in just a second. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're not going to see what I'm showing you. So I would recommend that you go look at the article itself, and so you can really see how this picture in this article is really setting the stage for what we're about to see. So, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, and that's definitely the case here, because they're starting this out by showing elders and a gentleman who's probably confessing some type of terrible sin that he's been involved with. And so they're counseling him and providing the direction and everything that this article would tell elders that they need to do. So this picture is basically an eisegetical method by which they can interpret what we're going to see in this article. So you already are starting out believing that this whole judicial elders meeting sort of thing is the way it's supposed to be, right? And that's just kind of a subtle way of doing it, starting it out with a picture like this. So let's go ahead and jump down to paragraph. Let me go find it here. Way towards the end of the article, in fact, on page 17, the last page of the article, on paragraph 16 specifically. So I definitely read the whole article just for context sake. But this is going to kind of reemphasize a point that I made in the last podcast, which I'd recommend you checking out. And it's just this whole practice of judicial meetings of the elders, and how they, in a sense, have sort of a Roman Catholic type of confessional system set up to where if you have a serious sin, well, I guess just praying to Jehovah is not enough. You've got to go to the elders, and you have to confess these things to the elders when there's just absolutely no scriptural reason for doing that. I think as a Christian, you know, you should confess your sins, of course, to God first and foremost. But, you know, you can tell your brother or sister in the faith kind of what's going on for a means of encouragement. There's no, as far as I know, requirement that you have to confess every one of your sins to a brother or sister in the Lord. I just don't see why in the previous article they presented it in such a way to where you're supposed to do that. I think you can do that maybe to ask for prayer and encouragement and things like that, but as some kind of confessional system, it's bizarre It's unscriptural, and it's more Roman Catholic than it is anything. So at paragraph 16, let's go ahead and read this. Elders today must be sure to imitate Jehovah, who loves justice. First, they need to make a thorough investigation and inquiry to establish if a wrong has been done. If it has, then they will handle the case according to scriptural guidelines. So we already see here an assumption, something that hasn't actually been proven, that elders specifically are to be involved in these types of cases. So, and then of course they bring in here Deuteronomy 13, 12 through 14. So we can go ahead and just bring that up and read it real quick. If you hear in one of your cities, which Jehovah your God is giving you to live in, anyone saying that some worthless men have gone out from among you and have seduced the inhabitants of their cities, saying, "Let us go and serve their gods whom you have not known," and then you shall investigate and search out and inquire thoroughly. If it is true in the matter established that this abomination has been done among you, then you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it and all that is in it, and his cattle with the edge of the sword. Then you shall gather all its booty in the middle of its open square, and burn the city and all its booty with fire as a whole burnt offering to Jehovah your God, and it shall be a ruin forever. It shall never be rebuilt. I'm sorry. So this is just so interesting that they bring this up in relation to how elders should deal with these cases in their judicial meetings, which already is a totally biblically fictitious type of practice. And then they bring in Deuteronomy 13, and they say that, well, if you're an elder, you are to handle the case according to these specific guidelines. But look at the guidelines. This is just amazing to me that they are bringing in this this section, because this is about if you find someone engaging in idolatry, then you should investigate it and search it out. And then here's what you should do. You should kill the inhabitants of the city. So is this what elders are supposed to do? So first of all, this is not about issues of someone confessing sins before a judicial committee. This is about idolatry. And if you hear about inhabitants of another city engaging in idolatry, here's what you should do. So this is just one of the most bogus scriptural applications I could even imagine. The only thing that would be even remotely relevant here is about investigating and searching out something thoroughly. Well, sure, all Christians should investigate and search out things thoroughly. No argument there, but why bring this out, Deuteronomy 13, as if this is some type of directive for elders? That's amazing that they would actually bring this up. So let's continue in this paragraph. When they serve on judicial committees, they must carefully determine whether a Christian guilty of serious sin is repentant. Repentance, or lack of it, is not always obvious. It involves a person's viewpoint, disposition, and heart condition. A sinner must be repentant if he is to receive mercy. Okay, yeah, so this is where I guess elders are the ones who are supposed to do this. So, of course, you don't see any scriptures here about how elders are supposed to be the ones who extend mercy, and that elders are the ones who are to judge repentance. And this is just really such an unfair practice, because if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're very familiar with the disfellowshipping practices, the shunning practices. So basically, you don't have a part in this. The rank and file, you don't have a part in making these judgments on whether someone is repentant or not. You're just to shun them based on what elders decided behind closed doors. And this is just a terrible, terrible, terrible practice. It's unfair. It's horrible. And if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you should feel horrible That these kinds of things are going on without any scriptural precedence whatsoever, because look at the second half of this paragraph. Do you see a single scripture cited which talks about elders being the judge on whether someone is repentant or not, and being able to have this terrible kind of authority to where they can make this judgment and say, well, no, this person is not repentant, and everyone just has to continue to shun them. This is really terrible, and I can't emphasize that enough, and I hope you think that this is terrible also. So let's jump over here to paragraph 18. This is the last couple sentences of the paragraph. It says, "You elders are Jesus's under-shepherds, and he will help you to judge as he judges." And of course they bring up Matthew 18:18 through 20. So let's go there. And I think we brought this up in the last podcast. It says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." So what they're saying here is that this is specifically applied to the judicial committees of several elders having this meetings with a repentant or unrepentant sinner who's confessing their sins to them. So, of course, this is not a scriptural application, because there's nothing in the context here. This is talking about elders specifically, because it says here, if we look in the context a couple of verses earlier, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you. It doesn't say send him to an elder judicial committee. So Jehovah's Witnesses are going to read this and just assume, well, okay, this is applied to elders. This is how elders are to judge. So again, this is just a terrible misapplication of the scriptures. And I really hope that if you're watching this, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, that you're really seeing how oppressive and unfair this type of system is. It's really a theocracy without any justification at all. So there's not much more I can say about this article. This is really just an extension of what I discussed in the previous article. So thank you for watching, and thank you for listening. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.